Good morning. I think the songs we sang this morning pretty much say it all. Come just as you are to worship. Praise Him. He is alive. And the last song was probably the best. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. It's a song we sing to children, but we're all children too, children of God. Amen. I pray this morning that the meditations in my heart and the things that are in my mind, the words that come out my mouth, and all the things I do honor God here today and always. That's kind of why we're here, isn't it? I want to honor God, seek to know Him, worship Him, serve Him. Remember John the Baptist? He preceded Jesus Christ. Lived a little bit of a different life. And had quite a following. Toward the end of his ministry, he knew his ministry had a beginning and an end. And he also knew who Jesus was. And there's a really favorite verse of mine in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 30. There was a little bit of controversy. Jesus is now on the scene. And some of John's disciples are thinking, well, what do we do now? And there's some of the Jewish people are in conflict. And John the Baptist said something that forever sticks with me. He said, it's time for him to increase and for me to decrease. And so whenever anybody asks me what time it is, I try to remember, well, it's 3:30. It's time for him to increase and time for me to decrease. It's something that always has stuck with me. Someone shared that with me, and it's always been that way. That is our faith, the practice of our faith in a nutshell. That's what I need to do, is to decrease and let Him increase. And I think that we're blessed here today, the people sitting here. We know that's the objective, to grow in Christ. I've known Peg Meyer from this fellowship for over 20 years. She's always been very faithful. And she, every time we would talk, correspond, or visit, she would always say at the end, she would say, Kenny, remember whose you are. You're Jesus's. You're a child of God. You belong to Christ. And that wasn't always the case in my life. It wasn't about whose I was. It was about who I was. I grew up in a world that was about who you are. You know, I tried to find my identity in the world, in purpose, and in pride, and what I did for a living. And I didn't seek God's approval. I sought the approval of peers and the approval of my own mind and my own ego. Left me pretty incomplete, if you can identify with that. We're incomplete to begin with until we surrender to the Lord. I was lost. And the odd thing is, I didn't even know it. And you may know some people in your life, either at work or in your family, that are lost, and we don't even know it. Karen and I left no stone unturned in our attempt to try and find some comfort in the world. We sought peace and comfort. At the end of the day, what we found was conflict and confusion. The end result was I lived in a very dark place, mentally, very angry, ignorant, arrogant. And I lived and ran in very dark circles. And I came up to and crossed a lot of thresholds in my life I never believed I would. The end result was devastating to a lot of people. And the baggage that I created, only God could help purify. The person that I was, only He could clean. I ended up in a prison. And early on, I was on a prison yard. And I was lucky enough to be up early in the morning to get out of my little cell and go get the carts to on the other side of the prison and bring them back and feed the people. And this was a big deal. This was a blessing. As I'm walking on this day, I'll draw you a quick picture. There is a huge fence, obviously, and it goes a long ways, all the way till it diminishes into nothing. It's a long fence. And I'm walking along this fence on a sidewalk. every 6 feet or so, about this high, there's a red dot on the crossbar of this fence. It's a big old chain link fence. And then everywhere where the fence is hooked to this crossbar, there's a red dot painted. So that if that little hook that hooks the fence to the crossbar was ever removed, they'd be able to see that. It's a security thing. But that doesn't really have anything to do with the story. So this morning, as I'm walking down, a hummingbird comes up. And I'm excited. You know, I'm at this point in a desert, and you don't see anything except desert. A lot of sand, and it's real hot. But for some odd reason, a hummingbird comes by, and he flies right up to one of those red dots, and I was kind of amused by it. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. And then he obviously didn't get anything from that red dot. It's a dot of paint, about the size of a tennis ball. And then he flew on to the next one. And then he skipped a couple, and he flew on to another one. And then I thought, I wasn't excited about seeing the hummingbird anymore. I started to become concerned about his condition. I thought, well, I was a little confused and a little frustrated. I said, well, doesn't this guy know any better than that? That's not a flower. How many of you know anything about hummingbirds? Hummingbirds require a lot of fuel. They're like a jet fighter. They can only go so far on a tank of gas, and they need more. And so this guy is trying to get his tank filled up in some places that aren't going to meet his needs. And as he goes on and then eventually out of my sight, I'm sad and frustrated. I'm thinking, doesn't he know any better? And I'm sad about his situation. He's going to go on unto death. There's no flowers out here. I don't even know where he came from. And then I reflected quickly. The Lord helped me reflect on myself. He said, that's the insanity of your life, Kenny. You go from one empty, unfulfilling, false thing to the next to try and get your needs met, to try and get fulfilled. There's nothing out there. It was a hard thing to look at, but it was a good thing to look at. Continue to chase after a delusion. I wasn't getting my needs met. I wasn't meeting anybody else's needs. And my best efforts took me to some disastrous places and created a lot of baggage. Thankfully, 21 years ago this week, on May 15th, someone shared the plan of salvation with me. I was saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And ironically, the gal that introduced me to this fellowship over 20 years ago was in attendance today. Jerry, God bless you and thank you. Being saved took me in a new direction. Slowly. I don't know if you can identify with that. I was introduced to the 12th chapter in the book of Romans. The first couple verses there, it speaks about give yourself as a living sacrifice to God, not to other people or all these cults or all this other weird stuff you're doing. Be transformed. Have a new mind. Quit being conformed to the world. And so that was the task at hand, and that's the task that we are involved in still today. That part doesn't go away. But that chapter, the third verse in that chapter goes on to say something that I often have skipped over for too long. It goes on to say that that God gives all of us a measure of faith. And it told me that little bit of faith that I had wasn't even mine. I didn't conjure it up. It was a gift from God. And now it's my job to nurture that gift and to explore it and seek how I can move in this new direction. And that has always given me comfort, because now it's not relying on me. This little bit of faith that I was given, I am saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but my faith in Him isn't even mine. It doesn't even belong to me. He's given it to me as a gift, and He wants me to cherish it, and He wants me to do something about it. And so the ultimate question for me is, okay, how? You know? Maybe it's because I'm a guy. You know, if it's mechanical, okay, how are we going to do this? We need a plan. And I've learned that if I want to grow in Jesus Christ, and I want Jesus Christ to grow in me, sometimes it's a balance. Sometimes it's about being, and sometimes it's about doing. It's about trying to find out when I should be in of action and when I should be sitting still. But I also know that to a very large degree, I need to be engaged in my faith. Some things that I've learned that I need to be involved in if I want to continue to grow. I need to have an active prayer life. I need to be regularly involved in the study of God's Word. I need to be involved in worship. committed to a worship service regularly. Fellowship is important with other people on a common path, and service to others. If I'm involved in those things, and I'm asking myself, and I'm asking myself today as I speak this, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to speak to all of us, where are we at in this? Where am I at in my prayer life? How's my study? What's my commitment to worship, to fellowship, to service? Am I engaged in this process, and where and how? There's a story in the Old Testament in the book of Nehemiah. After the Israelites had been taken into captivity, after some years, a guy named Nehemiah works for the king. I think he's his cupbearer. He finds favor with the king. And the king grants him the opportunity to go back and rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. And this is quite a task. He feels compelled to undertake it. But there's a lot of opposition for him to do this. Other things have changed, both within among his own people and outward opposition. The people that are now doing what they're doing, they don't want God back in Jerusalem. They don't want these walls built back up. For me, this is also a picture of of our conflict. There are outward forces that are trying to make sure that I don't grow in Jesus Christ, and there is an inward struggle that would keep me from doing the things that I need to do in regards to growing in Jesus Christ. And in there, in the fourth chapter there, something that has always stood to me to be very practical is Nehemiah said, in this huge task that he had undertaken, Nehemiah says that we prayed to God and we posted a guard. And so that says to me that it's about prayer, it's about communion with the Lord, but it's also about what are we doing? You know, what are we doing as guided by His Spirit, about being involved in it? And Ted's been teaching lately about prayer. I want to talk a little bit about that. And today, a couple of weeks ago, he was speaking about the psalmist and how, you know, what's the practical application as the psalmist was crying out to the Lord? How do I deal in this world? You know, I am, and people from the fellowship for many years have shared with me that we are in this world, but no longer of this world. And so that creates a conflict. Prayer has always been a very mysterious and intimidating thing to me. And in fact, the first time someone came up to me on a prison yard and said, Kenny, would you pray for me about a specific issue? I almost cried. It was very humbling. Why would any man see anything in me that would lead him to believe that he could ask me for prayer? I didn't get it. So it's always been very important to me. And when people ask you for prayer, it's a big deal. They are honoring you and the God that you are serving when they ask you to go before Him. The word itself took a little of the fear out of it. The word itself means to talk, to commune. And so, okay, I can do that. How? Again, you know, how? What about my prayer life? Ted spoke about it. It's submission. That it's about God. It's about surrender. Okay, now how do I do this thing? Remember the disciples asked Jesus, okay, teach us how to pray. And then we have the Lord's Prayer. And if you want to, I know that if I want to improve my relationship with my wife or with anybody, what do you got to do? You got to spend time with them. And you got to talk to them. If I want to improve my relationship with God, I got to spend time with Him. I got to speak to Him. I want to look briefly at a couple different aspects of prayer. Not to make it robotic or ritualistic. That's certainly never the idea. But or to categorize it. But I want to look at some different aspects of what my prayer life needs to include. And a lot of it was included in the songs today. And a lot of it's included in the Lord's Prayer. When I'm praying, I need to remember, for me first, is praise. Praising God. Thanking Him. And then I need to remember confession. Honest examination before the Lord. Where am I at? Lord, here's where I'm at. Here's where I can see I'm falling short. Support me in that and reveal to me where else I'm falling short. And then there's petition. Petition is when, in a legal term, it's when you bring your needs before the court. And in our prayer life, in our faith, it's about when we bring our needs before the Lord. Bring our petitions before the Lord. The things that we are feeling and hurting. And lastly, for me, it's about intercession. And we do that here. I heard that this morning. a lot of it. We intercede on behalf of others. We're praying for other people. So think about that with me, if you would, for a minute. And I'll mention them again. In our prayer life, what about, where am I at, Lord, in regard to praising you in my prayer time? Where am I at in regards to confessing to you, taking the time for some self-examination and then expression to the Lord? Petition and intercession. Think about your prayer life. Which one of those do you think maybe you do more, or which one do you think you do less? And I would invite you to take a look at that as the day unfolds. And every time I think about these things, my prayer life improves. When I have an open discussion about these things, and I see, oh, well, you know what, I'm quick to run right up to the petition part. I'll bring my petitions before the Lord. And I'm pretty good at interceding on behalf of others. But I may be falling a little short on the confession part or the praise part. So, and let the Holy Spirit guide you as to where you're at on that. One of my favorite prayers is a spontaneous prayer. Amen. Do you remember when, either specifically or just in general, when the Lord lays it on your heart, when the Holy Spirit just lays it on your heart, and you just praise God, you say, thank you, Lord. Whether it's something simple or something big, it wasn't at a certain time of day, you didn't have to conjure it up, it just comes up out of you. And you say, thank you, Lord. It's a spontaneous prayer lets me know, and a word tells me there in Romans, it says that His Spirit reveals to my spirit that I'm a child of God. So I'm not. This isn't. It's all not around in my mind. I'm not thinking my way through this. I know I'm a child of God when that spontaneous prayer comes up in me. Wow, thank you, Lord. And it doesn't have to be a thank you. It can be help me, Lord. I need help. I need help. I did that several times last week. I need help. The effect of a prayer and praying for somebody else. A couple of weeks ago, in the back of this room at the end of the service, Gary came up to me, our pastor Ted's brother. And he said, how are you and Karen doing? And I said, you know what, you know, we're blessed. And he said, well, I'm praying for both of you daily. And I was floored. I didn't know what to think about that. I knew in that moment that brother meant it. He was praying for my wife and I every day. And he doesn't have any idea what kind of effect that had on me personally, and I can only hope and believe how it blessed the Lord, that what his effort is, his submission to God, his sacrifice of his time, and him being that living sacrifice that they talk about in the 12th chapter of Romans, the living sacrifice on Karen and I's behalf, interceding daily, it made me feel encouraged and pretty small all at the same time. None of it's easy. And, you know, throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, God reminds, you ever read the Old Testament and say, "Why? When are these people going to get it?" The Israelites keep coming up and then back and up and back. And he reminds us through the implementation of the festivals or whatever, it helps me know that we're human. We're never going to all the way get it. We're going to be in a struggle to continue to seek to know him better every day. It's not easy. A couple of weeks ago during our prayer time, I heard Joy cry out to the Lord in a way that moved me. She said, God, my daily devotion is not what it ought to be. And isn't that just what we're talking about right now? Isn't that what being engaged in our faith is about? It's not about, I'm not going to ignore the fact of what's going on in my life. I'm not going to excuse it. I'm not going to explain it away. I'm going to address it. I'm going to address it before the congregation and others and before God. For me, that is a demonstration of picking up your cross and following Jesus. And the Lord says, you know, you need to pick up your cross and follow me. That was always a bit of a mystery to me as well. And I think I had somewhat of a misconception about that. My original understanding was when someone would say, well, you know, when one of life's burdens would come along and someone would say, well, you know, I guess that's my cross to bear. And I believe today that's part of it. You know, Jesus was certainly bearing a burden when he was carrying his cross. I think there's more to what the Lord wants to reveal to us behind the cross itself and picking up our cross and following Him. For me, the cross itself is a demonstration, is a picture of right where the things on this earth meet the things of the Spirit. Right here, where the conflict is what the cross is about. And picking up our cross is about bringing that with you, bringing that conflict to church, bringing that internal battle with us every day. It's about being aware and being open and honest and being willing to understand and be molded into the likeness of Christ. Being in Jesus Christ has brought Karen and I a lot of joy. And we enjoy our freedom in Jesus Christ. The lessons and the blessings have been endless and are continued to unfold in our life today. But life doesn't quit for a Christian, a saved child of God. Life continues to move on. It's tough. It can be burdensome. I heard in the prayer time today the things that are on everybody's heart. The fact that we are hard pressed, but we're not destroyed, and we're continuing to move forward. The idea is that today I am better equipped to deal with life, because Jesus is in my life and the things that He's taught me and the people that He has put in my life. This week, earlier in the week, a young woman in our family circle had a baby girl. And as planned, cesarean section. And we're blessed. A couple hours later, we get a call on this and find out that the young child has been diagnosed with Down syndrome. And so we go before the Lord and we are grieved. And this is a crisis in the family. And then as the next couple of days unfold, the Lord begins to reveal to us who He is and how He has taken this situation and so many other people's lives and brought great joy to them. What we see may be as a crisis, and we are feeling for Heather and AJ, the mother and father. But He starts to give Karen and I peace, and we feel better for them. Our prayer life changes to thanksgiving and intercession rather than just petition and crisis. And then Friday night, we get a call on the phone, and they tell us that the neonatal nurse misspoke and the child doesn't have Down syndrome. And so right then, I don't know if I was frustrated first or grateful. I don't, help me. So again, we cry out to the Lord, you know, thank You for the journey we've had these last few days in trying to gain some understanding here. But what about that neonatal nurse, Lord? Who's going to worth the accountability there? But that's not my place. So we quickly went back to, okay. We took a journey with the Lord over those few days very quickly. And surrender, surrender, surrender. Believe, believe, believe. A few hours later on Friday night, we get a call and Karen's best friend has died. Georgine Reek, praise God. This is a woman that Karen has known since childhood. They grew up together, literally. I've seen pictures of when they were together in diapers. They've known each other for over 65 years, and now she's gone. And death is forever. And we're grieved. But today we can feel the pain and not have that sense of hopelessness. God helps us deal with these situations. Sometimes He calms the storm. We've seen that in His Word. Sometimes He calms your heart. So as Karen and I live out the next part of our life, and we try to gain some understanding and regain our balance as life has knocked us off a little bit this week, God is there for us. We are not living in a life like I did at one time without hope. There is hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope in His cross. There's hope in the example and the demonstration that I see in this fellowship of Jesus Christ lived out in your lives. And in closing, I want to take a brief look at Jesus' cross. Think about Him literally as He was bearing that cross physically and the burden that He bore. He knew the victory was His. And I'm believing that didn't make it a lot easier. was still extremely painful. And every bit of him, his flesh, had to have been screaming out, I want to quit. I'm done. And he didn't. The Spirit compelled him to move forward. He moved forward, and the whole time he was moving to a better place. And that's where every one of us are. And that's the comfort that Karen and I have when we're burdened. And that's the comfort that Karen and I have when we are singing God's praise because of the type of day it was. We are remembering that Jesus, in the middle of it all, was moving to a better place. And so are we. Praise God. Thank you.